Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we have internet sensation Elliot Serrano, as well as the cast from My Fair Lady here in Chicago with actor James Romney, with food from Broken English, and it's Freak Out Friday with our political roundtable of Eric Elk, Ken Jagabowski, and Dave Lundy. And stick around for What's That From at the 1 o'clock hour. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois, here is Patty Vasquez.
Friday night, we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I know one person who's really excited tonight because we are not starting the show out with any politics.
Woohoo!
Elliot Serrano, our Chief Geek Officer, and the proud papa to Sinbad, the survivor, who is he's the international web star.
Yeah, he's the international sensation. I'm just his handler.
Here's
we just did an interview for a blog in New Zealand. So, yeah, New Zealand. My cat is big in New Zealand.
Yes.
I mean, I at some point, Peter Jackson's going to say, we want him. We're going to put him in something.
All right.
There you go. Right.
to refresh people's memories, and I never get tired of hearing the story of how Sinbad survived and was rescued by you guys over at the Anti-Cruelty Society. He was, his owner is a senior citizen who had been unable to take care of himself and the cat. And a utility worker came across them and brought Sinbad to you guys.
Yeah, and Sinbad has since, was shaved free of about 5 pounds of mats. I took him home over the holidays, the Christmas holiday. And I just, he's been with me ever since.
I did love the picture of you trying to kiss him.
Oh, yeah. No,
he did not like it.
No, that's if you follow him on Instagram, Sinbad the Survivor, or look at his Facebook page, The Adventures of Sinbad the Cat, you'll see everything that he's up to. And yeah, again, New Zealand, a shout out to my boys in the NZ.
Okay, then. Are you this giddy because you're drinking mezcal?
Spiked hot chocolate. I was like, holy mackerel.
From Broken English, our friend Frank Valdez, who is the chef there, and I love that you've brought... Now, your bartender sent this over. Was this a care package for the show in addition to these amazing tacos you've brought?
So I made the spiked hot chocolate. This is my idea.
Oh my God, it's so good.
She just gave me, said, hey, this is probably the mezcal that's going to go well, so I got this Pelotón de la Muerte.
She was right.
And it does work perfectly.
Oh my God.
I've already had about 3 of these cups of these, so I'm pretty,
happy.
Happy.
Happy it's
exactly.
Friday. Yes.
Happy it's Friday.
Enjoying the weather. And the tacos are amazing.
Thank you.
They're really fantastic. You guys do a great job over there. I need to take my mom. I haven't had a chance. I know that you just opened up a location.
We did. It's up in Lincoln Park. It's over on Lincoln and Sheffield.
Over by here? Over by there.
Over by there.
He's trying to correct my there. Over by there.
2576 North Lincoln.
Excellent.
And it's super cool. Big location. Fun. A lot of stuff to do. Tacos.
Is it the location you work from?
For the moment, I kind of bounce around all 3 locations, but at the moment, it's a new baby, so it's kind of, 100% of the attention right now is at that one. It's been going well.
Well, thank you so much for bringing some treats. We wanted to treat our guests, all of our guests, well tonight. It is a party on Friday nights. We were thrilled to welcome James Romney to the studio tonight. He is fresh off the stage, My Fair Lady at the Lyric Opera. And you only have a couple more shows left.
That's right. We only have 3 more. We got 2 tomorrow and 1 on Sunday, and then we close.
That's it?
That's it.
Is this one? Do you have babies? This is your third show, your third performance with the Lyric Opera.
Yes, it's my third show.
And you have all this great build up. You guys rehearse endlessly. You get everything just so. Obviously, you put it on stage, and then the sort of wind down to the end is weird, isn't it?
It is. It is. And the ending of a show is almost always bittersweet. On the one hand, you form a bond with the cast, you have a great time, it's wonderful to do it, you don't want it to end. At the same time, by the end, you're pretty exhausted.
Yes.
Personally, my skin is going to feel a lot better because I have facial hair that I put on and off during the show. So I'm ripping that on and off between scenes. So I'm in that regard, I'm excited for it to be done. But really, I'm not. It's been a blast, and I wish it wasn't ending.
It is an incredible production. It is. I've never seen anything like it. Esmeralda just came from the theater herself.
I did. Eliza Doolittle's outfits, her dresses and things. Oh my god,
they're amazing.
They're so pretty.
It is a wonderful. I've never honestly, and in this production too, I don't think I've ever paid attention as much as I did to, you know, the background, the people, because there are scenes where she goes back, Eliza Doolittle goes back, and is, you know, everyone's, you know, she's telling stories about, you know, almost being, when she's being chased away for with the flowers, but in the background there are like streetwalkers. And I...
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that? The streetwalkers?
I didn't see the streetwalkers.
There was... Oh, yeah, yeah. There was one moment where I saw one of the women lift up her skirt, like, to show her wares.
Yep.
Oh, there's some amazing...
I did see some two people making out in the back. Yep. And I wondered what was going on there.
Yep, that was all staged and set. It was all him.
It was all...
You stumbled onto the stage.
But they did it without... They did it without drawing attention. But I'm so fascinated by every element. The set was beautiful. The performances were beautiful. All the singing, the dancing. It was a remarkable thing.
Yeah, I mean, so much work has gone into every single aspect of this. And what's particularly interesting about this production is the set, the direction, the choreography, and the costumes have actually been performed in Paris and in Russia.
Really?
So all of that stuff was kind of brought here, and then a new cast was introduced to it, and they kind of just transferred things over and adjusted things that needed to be fixed, but that had existed for a while before we got to it.
Oh, it's wonderful. And just the way you guys move us through, you know, whether it's the library or back out on the street, or, I mean, out in front of the, you know, the doctor's, I can't remember his name now. I don't know.
Henry Higgins.
It's funny because the movie, I like the movie. I never loved the movie. And there's one reason, because I had heard about how Julie Andrews had played her on Broadway. Yep. And then they brought in Audrey Hepburn, who they then dubbed over. And
yes,
like, there was something about that just always kind of bugged me a little bit.
Yeah, particularly when it's Julie Andrews that originated the role, of all people.
Right.
Julie Andrews.
I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, obviously she did okay afterwards. Yeah. You know, she seemed to bounce back from that.
Little.
Just a little bit. Yeah, she originated the role on Broadway, but they wanted to go with a bigger star and someone who couldn't sing, which makes no sense, because it kind of requires some vocal gymnastics.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm a little confused now.
Why?
Just thinking like, oh, that wasn't her voice, was it?
Because you told me you liked the movie.
Yeah, I like the movie. But, I mean, it's not like I love everything and anything from that movie. No, it was a good movie.
Doesn't it remind you a little bit of Singing in the Rain? Right? Because that movie is about someone being dubbed over.
Right.
See how it all comes back around to say. Although Audrey Hepburn, also a remarkable talent.
Yes.
She's kind of pretty and stuff. We are hanging out with our friends in the Allstate Showcase. No, she was a great actress. And I'll never have those cheekbones. We are hanging out with Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. We have Frank Valdez from Broken English with some just the most unbelievable hot chocolate. I mean, you know, just when you think you've had the best hot chocolate, Frank walks into your studio and says, here, try some of this. And we're all like, okay, that's happening. James Romney, who is in My Fair Lady. They have three more shows left, two Saturday, one Sunday.
Yep, that's right.
And hey, Michael, we have one pair, I think. But would they be able to get them from the box office? How would we do that?
I think so. We can just connect with Sarah, our
Make
good
sure they
promotions.
Get them.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know what? I'm going to have between James and Esmeralda think of a trivia question. Not
yes.
Right now. After the 11:30 news, I have one pair of tickets left for my... No, you know what? We don't. We don't have any more tickets left. I'm a horrible human being. I'm a horrible human
Denied.
Being. I'm a horrible human being.
Some
I'm,
people
I'm,
got I'm, really excited just
I know.
Now.
I'm a horrible human being. I will fix this. I have an Apt Electronics gift card. I will still give it to you. For a trivia question from James and Esmeralda. I'll tell you why off the air. More after this on 720 WGN.
With one enormous chair, how wouldn't it be lovely? Lots of chocolate for me to eat. Lots of cow mic and lots of eat. Warm face, warm hands, warm feet, how wouldn't it be lovely?
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our Chief Geek Officer, Frank Valdez, who has brought us some great treats from Broken English, and apparently the guacamole is about to go, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. What do you do differently to your guacamole that is making people just hover over it?
I add some special ingredients.
Oh. We'll never know.
Divulge.
We'll never know. Tell me off the air, will you? No? All right, then fine. Fine. We have James Romney in studio. He's fresh off the stage from My Fair Lady. Three more shows this weekend at the Chicago Lyric Opera. And that was a little bit of music from the play that Esmeralda just saw as well. Mm. And it is Dr. Higgins really does pretty much torture her.
Yeah,
for quite a bit. Now the dancing in it, it was unbelievable. Have you been a dancer for a long time? Are you a dancer?
No,
no,
no. I'm not a dancer. I've danced in shows. I can do dance. I can dance.
I can do dance.
I can
that,
do dance.
That shows you that you're like, that dance thing. All right, if you make me, yes.
No. Those dancers are just incredible, and you know they've been doing this for so long. They're all professionals. Some of them are from New York. They're amazing. The things that they do, I couldn't do in my dreams. I do the dancing for actors.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have noticed that there was anybody on stage that couldn't move. I would have thought that everybody was an incredible...
It's an illusion.
It is an illusion. Through the run, because you guys opened just about 3 weeks ago? Three weeks. What are some of the things that have surprised you along the way in this production? Because I know you've done... Carousel and the Merry Widow.
Merry Widow there, yes.
As I check my notes.
As you check your notes. The audience response for these shows is so amazing, particularly when you come into an opera house and you do the one musical a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it draws a different crowd. But even the people that are there all the time, it's just, you know, it's so energized. And that feeling when you're on stage of just looking out at this 3,500 seat house.
Yes.
This giant well of darkness, and knowing that all those people out there are watching you and just giving you their energy, their attention. It's amazing. Nothing like that, you know, exists for me.
And you've done this for a while.
Yeah, I've been doing this my whole life. I come by it honestly. My parents are theater people. I grew up, you know, but if I wasn't in the show as like a baby prop carry on, I was running around backstage and my mom was directing something.
And you grew up in Madison?
Yeah, grew up in Madison, Wisconsin.
And they did theater productions throughout the area?
Yeah, lots of theater there. I did a lot of community theater there, children's theater there, high school theater, of course. Mm-hmm.
The Barrymore Theater is gorgeous in Madison.
Barrymore Theater is gorgeous. The Orpheum is wonderful. Not a lot of theater is done at the Orpheum, but but they're both beautiful spaces.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And the Lyric Opera, Esmeralda, have you ever been to that space before?
No.
No?
No, I've always walked by it. I had a stint where I did shoe delivery, and we delivered shoes to them. But other than that...
just shoes? Lyric Opera is ordering shoes?
Yeah, no, they'd have their shoes fixed.
Okay.
For all the singers and the whatever was
sure.
going on. And the dude I worked for, he fixed them all.
You need to have them
I would have to lug the bag of their shoes.
Did they have them cobbled?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Why not? I did love really everything about this. And you mentioned that they only do sort of a Broadway production musical once a year.
It's the last show of their every season. It's the last show of their season, closing out their season. And what's different than the rest of the year is it's the only show going on right now. Most of the year, most operas are done in rep.
Uh-huh.
So every day or every other day is a different show going on. And so the chorus particularly will be in four or five shows at once.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it was with Merry Widow. We had a show every 2 days, and there were only like 10, 15 shows over the course of a month and a half, where this is 8 shows a week for 3 weeks.
Wow.
All the time.
Oh, man. How do you rest? I mean, how do you unwind after a show? Whew. Besides coming here and having some mezcal hot chocolate from Broken English.
You go home and you have some mezcal hot chocolate or something not as good but equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sleep a lot. That's mostly what I do when I'm not at the show. And, you know, you don't need to unwind that much because mm-hmm. while it is exhausting, it's also energizing. And the people are wonderful, and you know, I've made so many friends, and the people I know there, it's a great place to be when I'm there. So it's not like I leave and go, oh, God, thank God that's done.
Right. Oh, no, I can imagine.
No, it's wonderful. It's a great place to work. Wonderful people.
And it's done on such a grand scale, this production, really.
Grandest of scales.
The grandest of I should show you pictures. I can't because I didn't take any pictures because they're not allowed.
No.
But it's the moving sets. Like I said, it moves you really through one world to the next moments.
And the work of the crew, all the people you don't see, all of the work
Do you have a guess on how many people are backstage running all of that?
30. There's a stage manager on each side and the head stage manager calling the show, like, you know, telling people where to go, what to do, calling the lights, moving the sets. And then there's all of the prop people that make sure all the props are in the right place. And then all the set people that are literally by hand pushing the study up and down.
That's by hand?
That's by hand.
Those massive
hydraulic
pieces, like the library moves by hand.
Almost all of that is moving it. No, that's seriously. That's the library is moved by hand.
Didn't you want to run up on that stage and just hang out in that library, like the balcony part of it? And
yeah, I'm wondering, are those books? Or are they just pictures of books?
No, they're styrofoam. Mostly styrofoam. I think.
Who knows? Now we have to find out.
Yeah.
We are hanging out with our guest, James Romney, who is in the production of My Fair Lady. Esmeralda Leon, who just saw the production. Frank Valdez from Broken English. And you have, how many locations are there now? Three locations?
You have three locations.
There's one right over by here.
Over by there.
Yeah, over by there.
Over there.
And it's right off of Michigan Avenue on, is that
off, on? It's on Lake, 75 East Lake.
75 East Lake. And then the other one is a 2500.
We have 2576 North Lincoln and then 1400 North Wells.
And the website for Town. What's the website for Broken English?
TacoPub.com.
Taco Pub. And you can follow them on Instagram as well, Broken English. They have some great photos of all their food. And Elliot Serrano with the. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We want to thank Frank Valdez for bringing some great treats from Broken English. You can go to tacopub.com to find out about their three locations. And you brought in a fried chicken taco, which I can't get. I'm trying not to eat it all in one. It is so good.
Thank you. So it's kind of my take on traditional Baja fish taco.
Yes.
I just did it with chicken instead.
Elliot and I are like, yeah.
You know what? It's exactly it. I was wondering, why does this taste kind of familiar to me?
Yeah.
But you're right. It's exactly like that.
That's exactly, I was kind of like, hey, you know, if I cut up some chicken breast and I do it, you know, it's like, well, why not? You know,
fried
chicken. And everybody's like, you know, what did you do to come up with a fried chicken taco? And I'm like, I drank a lot of mezcal.
That'll do it.
You flew too close to the sun.
That'll do it. It is fantastic. You also brought carnitas, and was the other one a pulled pork?
The other one was a pork belly.
Belly.
It's a braised pork belly one.
Michael, have you had a chance to try some of these tacos?
Not tonight, but I've had them at Broken English. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be out there in a second or two.
All right, then fine.
Sounds so good.
Well, I'm going to take that last fried chicken taco, dude, if you don't get out here.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna give it to you, Elliot, because
I don't know, Frank. You seem to be causing some strife with my producer and our sidecar tonight.
That's good, right?
Yeah, it is good. Just don't let James from My Fair Lady get caught in the fray, because I don't need him to get hurt before the last three performances.
Oh, I've got my taco right here. I'm guarding it.
He's got his plastic cutlery ready to stab somebody.
Yep.
There are three more performances of My Fair Lady this weekend, two tomorrow and one on Sunday. You can go to lyricopera.org for the information about this show and any of the upcoming shows. I have an Apt Electronics gift card that is burning a hole in my pocket. It's not really. I don't carry them around with me. It's somewhere. It's up in our offices. It's in sales. That's where it is. But we will send it to you if you know the answer to this question that James has for you about My Fair Lady.
What is the name of the original play upon which My Fair Lady is based?
312-981-7200. I want to see someone call right away without Googling it. What is the play upon which My Fair Lady is based? I'm just right now, 312-981-7200. Oh, they're already Googling. I could feel it.
I'm sure.
I can hear this all over the place.
Or, I'm Googling it now.
Look at that. Nope, that was pretty fast. I'm going to say that these listeners, I'm pretty sure that they knew off the top of their head. This was, the phone lines are lighting up.
Oh, okay.
So I'm very excited about that.
Wow.
How many different,
Whoa.
Yeah, wow. All right.
Well, it is like the, holy
they really want this Apt Electronics gift card.
Well, you know what? It's
I'm glad.
I think it is because, again, it's My Fair Lady, and you know there is such a passionate following for that. You know, I'm sure you've had so many people say, I saw the movie.
Oh,
The show was incredible.
You know, it's frequently discussed as like, sometimes it's called the perfect musical. It's one of the it's one of the great classics that shaped like musicals to come to this day.
And like Esmeralda, who says she cried twice during it, you know, so.
Let's see if our first caller, this was pretty fast. So I got to believe that John knew it without Googling. Hey, John, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Do you know the answer to John's question?
Well, I hope so.
James's question.
Pygmalion,
yay!
That is correct.
Thank you.
We are going to send you an Apt Electronics gift card. Hold on the line. Have you seen the movie, My Fair Lady?
I not only saw the movie, I saw the play last night.
Oh. You did? What did you think?
I enjoyed it very much. I was just as amazed as the sets as you were, too.
Wasn't that remarkable? I also love the way there were some of those transitions where the big screen comes down, right? With the Roman, I can't remember. My mom looked up what the Roman lettering was, and I can't remember.
It says My Fair Lady in Latin.
That's what it was.
Or My Fair Girl.
My Fair
or
Girl.
Or Lady. I don't speak Latin, but that's what I'm told.
Well, there you go, John. Hold on the line, and Michael will take your information to send you off a gift card.
Thank you.
And Donna, Jerry, and Connie, if you hold on the line, if you're interested, I have a pair of tickets to see my show, Sometimes Mommy Swears, at the Chicago Women's Comedy Festival coming
up. I've seen the show. She swears a lot.
No, but okay. Well, the idea comes from the first time Griffin ever really, really understood that I swore, like the look on his face, and I had to like cop to and go, "That's right, Griffin. Sometimes mommy swears." Mm-hmm. So that's going to be on June 18th at the Chicago Women's Funny Festival at Stage 773. It's a 4 p.m. production. So Donna and Jerry, if you're interested, hold on the line, and Michael will take your information. And you have been, as you mentioned, you grew up in the theater, grew up in Madison. I see here that you were in the film Seeing the Elephant.
Yes. That was a film done specifically for the Kenosha Civil War Museum.
Okay.
In Kenosha, Wisconsin.
It's
little
not that far
road.
Away at all.
No, it's not. It was really cool to do because they had about 150 Civil War reenactors, and they brought them out to a historic location in Wisconsin for about 5 days. We shot a 10-minute movie that plays in the theater of the Kenosha Civil War Museum. And it was amazing. I got a crash course in Civil War history. I got dressed in all of the wool in summer, sweating so much.
No kidding.
Learned how to load and fire a musket, and we shot a battle scene. And one of the coolest things is the theater that it was designed for is 360 degrees.
Okay.
So when you go into, you go up into it, and the screen is all around you. And one of the shots we did was with a 360 degree camera, and it had like 8 different cameras. So it looked all around it, and then we had like 2 lines of soldiers like running at each other past the
camera. So they're coming at you in the middle
from all directions.
I have to go see this.
Yeah, you should see it. It's really
cool.
This
is at the Kenosha Civil War Museum.
Yep.
Why is there a Civil War Museum in Kenosha?
I don't know the entire answer.
I have to find this out.
One of the things it focuses on, though, is
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
There's no battlegrounds there. There were no, I mean, nothing came this far north.
No, but there were some very important brigades that came out of Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Indiana. One of them was called the Iron Brigade, which was very influential, the number of battles. I'm not a Civil War expert. So it focuses on the Midwest states' contribution to the war effort during the Civil War.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's a very, very good museum.
Road trip.
Yep.
I think Amtrak stops in Kenosha.
It does indeed.
I'm going to go. I think I'm going to take the family up there to see that. And you've done productions around the city. I know that having graduated from Roosevelt, did you think that about staying here, or have you ever contemplated leaving for the coasts?
I have always wanted to stay here.
Yeah.
I love the city. I love the city so much. Besides the fact that I think it's one of the best theater cities in the world, I love this city. Even if I weren't doing theater, I would want this to be my home base. I've always said to myself, if work carried me to L.A. or New York, I would go, obviously, because that's where the bigger industries are. But the work that I want to do here. And I've had friends that have moved away, and I've had friends that have moved back.
I know.
Because
so
they didn't
I.
like it.
So have I. And I've had friends who went off and had great success. And
of
I've
course.
Had other friends who waited tables, other friends that came back.
Yep.
It depends. I mean, because, you know, show business is feast or famine.
Yeah.
It just is. And it's sometimes being in the right place at the right time. But if you can make it happen here, I mean, what a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah. And Chicago is really a growing industry. There's more film and more television being done here all the time. And the theater is just always been fantastic.
Are your folks still in Madison?
No, they actually moved down here.
Did
so they could be close to me and see my work.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
And so they came down so they could see your work?
Yeah.
I mean, they moved
here? So they could
here?
Be close to it. Well, they're older.
Okay.
And they're retired. And I've actually recently, as a project, tried to get them some resumes and headshots and tried to get them into acting because they both have experience in it.
There is so much work. I remember, like, when I started out, they asked me about my parents and my mom and dad ended up going on a lot of auditions for a while.
Yeah.
My mom, have I ever told you this story, Elliot? There was a casting call. Remember the Dove commercials, the Dove ads with real women, and they did like older women?
Mm-hmm.
I heard an ad for it, and my mom was actually in surgery for her wrist. So I called and pretended to be my mom, right? Because my mom has an accent. So when she showed up, I wanted them to believe it was her. I'm like, hello, this is Dora, and I am interested in your advertisement call for Dove. And my mom went in. She was actually flown to New York. And she called me from New York and she said, Patricia, they have a photographer. She took a picture with me and the woman was telling me how good I looked. And I said, well, get in the picture with me. And this woman, she looks kind of, you know, she's very plain. She looks a little manly. Annie Leibovitz, right? My mom is in her bra and panties. Well, she has a robe in the picture, but like leaning next to, like leaning in with Annie Leibovitz.
Wow.
So yes, get your folks their resumes out because there is a lot of work out there for people who are talented, who, you know, because a lot of young people, if they don't get what they want in show business, like if they don't, you know, they're I mean, I've been in this for a while. They just go do other things because they didn't become stars or they didn't, you know, and because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's a grind. So
definitely in acting, the older you get, the fewer people around.
Yeah. It's just, I'm getting more work recently. More after this on 720 WGN. Hello, Chicago Fire. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I didn't realize that the Lyric Opera has been in Chicago since 1954. Did you know that, Elliot?
I know that now.
Now you do. You can go to the lyricopera.org website to find out more information about the last three performances of My Fair Lady. You don't want to miss this. If there are tickets left, Michael, can you go online and see if you can get tickets? Let's see if there are any left. I don't even know if they might be sold out. I'm guessing it's been pretty packed houses, James.
Yeah. Yeah, very packed houses for pretty much all of it.
It was so nice. Now, we have our friend Frank Valdez from Broken English who's brought us some great tacos. Have you had a chance to ever go to the Lyric Opera?
I've not. I actually worked like about two blocks away from there, and it's a beautiful building.
It's stunning. It's stunning inside. I couldn't stop taking pictures of even like the lobby.
The lobby is beautiful.
I've only been there twice in my entire life. I think I saw an opera of Romeo and Juliet, and then I saw My Fair Lady, and I'm not going to let that much time elapse before I go back again.
Whenever I walk by, especially like right before a show, there's the restaurant bar that you can see in through the windows. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I want to be in there. You know, that looks like really fancy.
That looks swanky.
That looks very fancy. What's strange is that when you get out, everything is closed. Like around the Lyric Opera, there's like not some place to go afterwards. And it was raining on opening night, so everyone was dashing to their cars and trying to get to the parking lots or to the valets. What I really loved as well, in addition to the outstanding performance, was the little girls. There were so many little girls in like just the cutest, the dresses and like just completely dolled up like they were going to the opera. Oh, it's so cool.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and a lot of women too, a lot of men, a lot of people just dress up for the opera.
Yeah.
You know, and evening gowns on opening night, there were a lot of,
I'm sure.
I was wearing a velvet dress that can double as both casual and dressy. So I could kind of straddle that. It's very comfortable.
It's all in the shoes. And you wear a wrap with it.
Ballet flats. So that still can go either way.
Yeah, still go. Mm-hmm.
I did not have my cape. That was the thing. They all have capes.
Gotta bring the cape.
And you've been, this is your third production. With Merry Widow and Carousel, and I don't want to make you pick favorites. Do you have a favorite?
Well, I would have to say, simply because I was understudying Merry Widow and I was in Carousel, I enjoyed Carousel more than Merry Widow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's understudying is hard, and you and it. And
oh
it's,
man!
It's, you know, you do all this work, and you watch this other person's performance, and then you say, "Okay, I need to replicate that as much as I can." So if I had to go on, the show would be roughly the same,
right?
But also, you also don't get to do anywhere near as much as being in the show because you're just sitting and watching almost the whole time. You just watch the rehearsals as they happen, and you get some understudy rehearsals where you actually get on your feet and get direction and stuff like that. But it's not the same as being part of the onstage cast.
Right, to be out there doing the work, to be in front of that crowd.
But of the three, I would say that My Fair Lady is my favorite.
It's spectacular. And there are, in fact, tickets left for the performances this weekend. There are three shows. There's a matinee tomorrow, and then an evening show tomorrow and Sunday. And if you have the opportunity, I highly recommend you come in for this. And you mentioned we were talking about the high school performance you guys did. It was a little bit, little raucous.
It was the most raucous house we've had. It felt like we were, and during Bows, it felt like it was a concert.
Oh, really?
Not a show. Oh, yeah. They showed their support.
Did they like the show a lot?
They really did. That's really wonderful. And a lot of you know, as we went out the stage door, a lot of them were there, even getting on buses. But they were, you know, waved and cheered at people, particularly the stars as they came out. But yeah, it was really cool.
See, my high school, I don't think we did any field trips. Grade school, we did symphony orchestra, which was fine, but I would have liked to. My son's gone to see Shakespeare at Navy Pier, and I'm going to make sure he comes to see some more of the shows at the Lyric Opera too, because, you know, it's so different. The storytelling, the performance, being transported somewhere else in the middle of Chicago, it's a wonderful thing.
It's amazing.
It's great. Have you had a chance to see much theater, Elliot?
A bit, yeah, I've seen a bit, but it has been a while. I think the last thing I saw was what we saw, the Desire and Destiny of Desire.
Oh, that was great.
The Goodman. The last thing we saw at the Goodman.
All right,
which
Frank,
is really good.
All of us were going to go see a play. There's so many great small theaters, and
there are so many.
And I see that you've done work with a lot of this, what are the Inappropriates?
The Inappropriate Theater Company is a company that was started by some people I went to school with. That were a couple years ahead of me, and they focused on doing innovative theater in weird spaces. Found spaces, someone's really big apartment. We did a show at the Catalyst Ranch, which is I don't even know how to describe it. It's kind of like an office space for rent over in the West Loop, but it's like full of toys and colors, and it's like a get out of the office kind of place.
Okay.
And we did a show there where the audience walked around and followed different people to different rooms, and like everyone got a different slice of the story. Which was really cool.
I love that. Yeah, a lot of different theater groups too, including Ruckus Theater, mm-hmm. Haven Theater, Lifeline Theater. We know very well here in Chicago.
That was the show I was doing right before I came to My Fair Lady. I did Wrinkle in Time there.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry, I missed that. See, we're not going to miss. But we have to go to these other theaters as well.
You do?
We've been hanging out with James Romney, who's in the production of My Fair Lady at the Chicago Lyric Opera. Go to lyricopera.org for ticket information. Thank you so much, Frank Valdez, for some of the best tacos ever. Broken English. You can go to tacopub.com. And by the way, hot chocolate with mezcal on a rainy night. This is wonderful.
Amazing.
I loved it. More in just a moment on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I want to remind Rob Martier that there is a seat waiting for him down here. And Roger Badish, if only there were interesting news to share all day long. It doesn't seem like anything really happened. I know I was getting updates from our friend Ken J. Gabowski all day today. Every few minutes, you'd be like, I've never seen a day like this. And then you text me again, and you'd be like, I've never seen it. And then all caps. And there's nowhere to go from all caps, Ken, is there?
No. I guess you can bold it. Underline it. Maybe put different colors in certain words.
You need to start learning how to use emojis, Dave. Dave Lundy, can you?
Today was so boring. Oh my God. There were like periods of 3, 4, 5 minutes where nothing happened.
Well, yes.
Well, it started with the news from Sweden that they had dropped their inquiry into Julian Assange.
Right.
The rape case.
And Ecuador asking Great Britain basically they want Assange to leave their embassy, but England said no, that they are still having an arrest warrant out for him because he jumped bail.
Okay.
So that's where it sits. But that now seems to be set up and possibly as part of a deal which will lead to arrest and extradition to the United States for trial.
Who's going to prosecute him in the United States?
The United States government.
Under Trump?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
the Justice Department absolutely will go after this
but
guy.
But I'm sorry, I seem to recall somebody, who was it, who said, I love WikiLeaks.
Yeah, well,
well not, up to
not
him,
so much. He's changed his tune recently.
But it's not up to Trump whether or not the Justice Department investigates.
It's the Justice Department.
Yeah, that's up to them.
It's up to the Justice Department. And they've Assange has been circled for a long time by the Justice Department. So that was like the morning. Then there was news Anthony Weiner was going to plead guilty to sexting with a minor, knowingly sexting.
15-year-old.
15-year-old.
Ken, I am not touching Wiener.
Okay.
I just want to be clear.
I don't want you to touch his Wiener.
We already jumped stories. Before we get into all of this, and we get... Yes, Eric?
No, I was just going to say, where's Julian hanging out in...
In Ecuadorian embassy in London.
Is he still in the embassy?
London.
Okay.
Yeah, still, yeah. I don't know how many years it's been, and what,
he four, just stays five? Inside the compound?
Yeah, I mean, he can't leave. Otherwise, he's...
Well,
had cops waiting for him out front. There was police cars.
Ken, wasn't it about like 3 or 4 weeks ago when Roger Stone snuck into the embassy,
to meet with
an embassy, and met with him for like an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be the Roger Stone who claims he had nothing to do with WikiLeaks.
Nothing to do with whatsoever. Yeah. We have a listener who wants to join the conversation. Hi, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. And you?
Very well, thank you. What's up?
No, I was just saying that I think the people are surprised by what's going on in the White House and thing. I'm like shocked that people are alarmed because I think there should be some caveat regarding political elections and things, that there are certain people, no matter how many votes you can get, popular or the, electoral, you can never be president. And like, you know, Charlie Sheen or Dennis Rodman and Donald Trump should be included.
Well, Steve, the Constitution has only, I think it's only three requirements. It's age of 35. Is that American citizen?
It's age. It's a native. It's a natural born citizen.
Yes.
Which is a debatable point that was came up during Ted Cruz. And of course, the birthers wanted to take that out on Barack Obama, claiming he was born in Kenya. What's the third requirement?
No felony. Is it no? No,
no
maybe
no.
It's not even that.
No, I think it's
maybe just the two.
Age and natural born citizen.
Steve, that would take a change to the Constitution.
You would assume residency.
Residency?
Right. But maybe they could, some amendment, they could make some amendment. I mean, because if Donald Trump basically popularity and things like that, I mean, there could be anybody, a certain person, Kim Kardashian could be president. Who,
yeah.
She might be the next.
Kanye is planning to run.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He wants to run in 2020.
Exactly.
He's been talking about that.
Right.
Yeah, but I think the Donald Trump experience is going to, people now are going to look and go, wait a second, we went down that road with somebody having no experience.
Nah,
I think it hurts people like that.
I don't think so either. I'm with Steve.
I think you underestimate the...
celebrity power?
No, you underestimate the lower intelligence of the American populace.
I don't underestimate them, but I think you're right. I'll give you that point.
I didn't used to underestimate them. That all changed on November 8th.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Donald Trump was not the first real celebrity president. I mean, you can talk about Ronald Reagan, but the one that showed you can take a figurehead celebrity and prop them up to go for a rarely very high office was Schwarzenegger.
Correct.
As governor.
As governor of California. And people forget how not well that turned out in the long run. And then they were hoping that they could get Schwarzenegger to run for president. It just shows what a short
Other
memory
than that
we have.
Second requirement.
Well, right.
Steve, when the framers of the Constitution, you know, came up with these requirements, the idea was that someone of the people would become the leader, could ascend to the presidency. And it is three requirements. It is the age of 35, a resident within the United States for 14 years, and a natural born citizen, a term not defined necessarily by the Constitution. So those are the...
I'm sorry. Well, maybe they can institute something like similar to the bar exam or, you know.
Well, you know, they tried that throughout the South and at other points in our history with certain groups. They had
for voting, for the ability
voting.
To vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, Steve. I mean, I guess there's the choice of figuring out how to narrow the field, I guess, of presidential candidates, and other people decide to narrow the field of voters. So I like your idea better, but I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Voters just will be smarter.
You know, look, eighth graders used to have to take a Constitution test. I think a presidential candidate should have to take a Constitution test. Donald Trump would never have passed
it. And it should be televised. It should be like a...
Absolutely. You can have, what's that guy's name? You know, that Steve Harvey could moderate it like that show where you put the board up and you ask questions. What number state? Dun, 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 dun.
Survey says.
Survey.
Steve, I like your idea. I don't think it's going to happen. Hey, do you want to come out and see my show at the Stage 773 for the Women's Comedy Festival on June 18th?
Certainly.
All right, hold on the line, and Michael will take your information. That is on June 18th. I have a new show called Sometimes Mommy Swears, and I'm debuting that on June 18th. Don't say it. Yes, sometimes. Dave, you know what was it like the first time your kids realized you swore? Do you remember that moment? Because I do.
You know, they were so young. No, I don't. I have no recollection of the first time they knew I was swearing, because most of the time it happened when they were really young.
Right.
My eyes were facing forward towards the car who had just cut me off.
Exactly.
I am shocked. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That happened to me.
Yes.
Same
That's
thing.
Exactly the first time Griffin kept asking me, what does the S word mean? He kept saying that word over and over and over again. And finally I said, it means mommy almost hit a pedestrian.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the S word in our family was my daughter running to my mom, running to her mother, my wife, saying, Mommy, Daddy said stupid. Daddy said stupid. He swore.
Yes, actually, in my house, the S word was suck for a long, long time.
Yes.
Until they realized. In fact, there was I do remember the conversation where my oldest, Eli, said to the youngest, Max, because Max was saying, Daddy said the S word. Daddy said the S word. He said suck. And Eli looked at him and said, that's not the S word.
See, those are the kinds of conversations. That's a little bit of what the show is about, too, is the first time the look on Griffin's, like his grief-stricken face that I would use that word. He was so disappointed in me, and I just went, that's right, Griffin. Sometimes mommy swears.
Was it the S word?
No.
Oh.
Well, my daughter informed me about 3 weeks ago, my daughter informed me that she hears me in my office sometimes while she's in the living room saying the F word.
Oh, yeah? Oh, dear.
Yes.
Yeah, Griffin's heard me say many more words during this presidency. Yes. More after this on 720 WGN.
Holy crap, I am freaking out.
Roger, I don't get the sense that you are freaking out on this Freak Out Friday situation. Is the news, slowed down?
I'm very freaked out right now.
What's freaking you out right
I'm
now?
I'm extremely freaked out right
Yeah, you
now.
Sound so totally
These
unhinged.
Computers
yes?
are, what floor are we on up here?
The seventh floor, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right.
I'm not that strong.
Uh-huh.
I will find a way to bust through two layers of windows and throw these computers out the window.
Wow.
I believe in you, Roger.
Is it because of the news coming across your screens? Or
no,
is it because
no,
they're misbehaving?
It's the computers are misbehaving.
Ah, those pesky computers.
I've gone through one computer already. That was one when I was doing the traffic.
Uh-huh.
That was doing things in front of my eyes without me even touching it, which I didn't know I had that power to make an electronic device do that.
It's the Russians.
It is the Russians.
We've been hacked.
Yep.
Well, you know, Roger, your brain does operate on electronic waves, so the electronic waves in your brain are obviously so powerful. That
well, I did have an MRI
computer.
Yesterday.
Oh.
See? There you
Aha.
go. There you go.
Yeah. You've okay. left out some very important
Roger elements.
You know, I always bury
power.
The lead, so.
Yeah, you did bury the lead, indeed, sir. We're trying very hard not to freak out down here. I've dimmed the lights a little bit, put up some, you know, some mood lighting.
We need to get you some candles, scented candles.
I don't know if we need to have open flames during the show.
Oh, aromatherapy.
Good point. You've got a point there. I like that because the news never stopped today. I mean, there are slow news days. Aren't Fridays typically slow, like heading into the weekend?
Yeah,
5 o'clock, everything shuts down.
This was an avalanche of like Category 5 storms that kept coming. It was extraordinary. The New York Times story, the Washington Post story, all the other little stories that followed on different topics.
McClatchy saying there's a cover-up and Congress has been notified.
What does it mean that the White House, the CNN story, that the White House legal counsel is now actively researching impeachment? Why would they be researching impeachment?
They're getting ready for,
to
an impeachment
defend themselves?
Trial.
Mm-hmm.
They're
researching.
Circling the wagons.
Are they Googling impeachment? What do we do now?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Probably pretty much. Yeah. Probably, somebody probably went into Google, but what do I have to do to defend myself from an impeachment?
Although I should say
charge?
That the White House has denied that anybody at the White House is researching impeachment. So it might not be the White House counsel. It could be an outside counsel doing it at the behest of the president.
These are moments when I really wished I got along with my brother-in-law better, because he worked on Karl Rove's team. I believe he's also working for the Trump administration. He was the lead counsel for the governor of Michigan in the Flint debacle. Yeah, but I'm not that close to him.
Send him the want ads.
Yeah, I know. I just, he also worked for the Bush administration. He's in there. He was at the inauguration. He was also at Clarence Thomas's.
And you don't get along. I'm like shocked.
and it wasn't anything to do with politics. The first time I ever saw him lick eggnog off the kitchen table, I was like, I didn't even know that much about him.
Dude, you're so uncouth.
You spike the eggnog, what do you expect?
Yeah, right. He licked it off the table. It was so strange.
That is so gross.
It was really, he didn't know anybody else was in the room.
Did he know he's not a dog?
That's such a Costanza moment.
I'm picturing this. I need another visual.
My husband has a better story, because he was trying to like be funny and he came downstairs wearing the bathroom plunger on his face. He's like, look at me, I'm an alien. And he had the bathroom plunger.
This is the same guy.
Same guy did?
Yeah.
After drinking or licking the eggnog off
after,
the table?
Not after, but it was the same guy. Yeah, same,
same day?
Why would you ever put the wrong side of a plunger on your face?
Yes. Yeah.
How drunk do you have to be?
No, I don't think he was drunk.
To not even think about the fact.
Did you tell him what it had been used on?
Yes, everyone alluded to. They were like, do you know how we use that?
I'm like, back to when mommy swears with the S word.
Exactly.
And speaking of which, keeping with that theme, tonight we had Anderson Cooper with the takedown of Jeffrey Lord. He said, you know, Jeffrey.
Who's Jeffrey?
Jeffrey Lord is the white-haired guy that has defended everything Donald Trump has done from the beginning of time.
Okay.
He's a troll.
I don't watch CNN.
I just talk to you guys.
Right. Correct. So Anderson Cooper said tonight, you know, Jeffrey, I think Donald Trump could stand on his on his desk and take a dump, and you would defend him.
Okay. And he would. And Jeffrey Lord would.
Yeah, Jeffrey Lord said, well, he probably had a go.
I'm happy that Anderson was able to finally pull off a good line.
Yeah, that was a good one.
When you got to go, you got to go. Yeah.
But then he came right back, or not right back, but shortly thereafter, and apologized.
Did he really?
Yes.
He
tweeted out and he apologized. Says, very unprofessional on my part. I do apologize, blah, blah, blah.
Well, how was it unprofessional?
Oh, come on.
The CNN pundits and anchors and all that, they are aging visibly before our eyes from everything that's been going on. Jake Tapper, I pray for Jake Tapper every night. You know, the poor guy has to just, everything that he's been through, Anderson Cooper, his eyes almost rolled out of his head the last time Kellyanne Conway was on his show.
Yeah, but Elliot, he looks great for a 78-year-old man. Oh, wait, Jake Tapper's 48. Never mind.
Okay, so the McClatchy story, the Trump-Russia probe, now includes a possible cover-up, and that Congress has been told that. What time are these things all happening?
It was interesting because Trump's plane took off about 1:48.
The first story was like five minutes later.
1:58 was the New York Times, the first story. 10 minutes later, the Washington Post story, and then it just kept coming. It just kept coming and coming and coming all night.
But you guys missed the most important story.
Oh, yes. We're bated breath now.
Apparently, according to some reports, the president loaded up his plane with anyone?
Fried chicken.
Wrong.
Ethanol?
Ice cream.
Frozen pizzas. Because he doesn't want to have to eat the food overseas.
Well, I mean, to be fair, when George Bush traveled there, George Bush Sr., and puked on the...
In China.
Japan.
Japan.
Oh, yeah, he looked awful. Remember the pictures of him? Oh, my gosh, did he look sick.
He was sick or something.
Oh, gosh, he was sick as a dog. Holy smokes.
Yeah. See, and here's the thing. Anybody who's talking about impeaching Donald Trump, given the way he eats, He's not gonna be around long. I mean, come on.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. Are there people who?
The guy's eating pizzas for breakfast.
Look, ultimately,
and those taco bowls you get at the Trump Tower
for Cinco de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm.
Two scoops of ice cream after every meal. No, I don't think Trump is going to get impeached. I don't think that's how this is going to end.
I don't think so either.
I think it's going to end either with the invocation of the 25th Amendment, or he'll just go, much like Nixon did. Just go. But I think we're facing a long period of time. And we can debate how long, but a long period of time of the drip, drip, drip of scandal that will color and impact everything that...
And everyone.
Everything the White House wants
to
do. The
Vice President and his entire staff. Yeah.
Everything.
I mean, once you get Mueller in there, he seems like a guy who's a dog with a bone.
I'm thinking it's 12 to 18 months, but...
And how close is he to Comey?
Right.
I mean...
Mueller?
Yeah.
Very.
Well, one thing I would think he's going to do... is I think he's going to subpoena every single bank statement from every single Trump-affiliated business anywhere in the world, as well as asking and subpoenaing Trump's taxes.
That man's going to need 100 forensic accountants at least.
Anybody want a job? I mean, and you're a forensic accountant, it's full employment in Washington.
And there's plenty of time. Go get certified and then go get some work. Let's take a break here. More when we come back. And, of course, we always invite you to join our conversation. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. Elliot's ready to read your texts on air, whether they be cheerful or otherwise. More after this on 720. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is our Chief Geek Officer, Elliot Serrano, also the proud handler for Sinbad the Survivor. Go to Sinbad the Survivor on Instagram. Is there an underscore?
No, just Sinbad the Survivor, at Sinbad the Survivor, and also The Adventures of Sinbad the Cat on Facebook, where you can read our latest interview. From a New Zealand website, the top news site in New Zealand, I'm told.
That's fantastic.
Which is like, whoa. And then, of course, the moment I posted that, somebody commented, I live in New Zealand and we all love Sinbad here.
So come on. There he goes. Sinbad the Survivor. He's an incredible Persian cat. So beautiful. Does not like having the top of his head kissed.
Does not like being kissed. But, or at least not. Take me taking a picture.
So he does not like having the top of his head touched?
Oh, no, he's fine with it. It's just he doesn't want me taking a picture of myself kissing him. Okay, so here's the thing. Everyone keeps saying every night, give Sinbad a kiss for me. So I finally decided to take a picture of it. I said, okay, for everyone who says give Sinbad a kiss, I'm doing it. So when I did it, if you see the picture on the Instagram, he has this look like, when your kid is like, mom wants to give you a kiss, and your kid's like, oh, mom, no. That's the look he's giving you. He's giving me. So, and of course, everyone loves the photo. So. Okay.
It's kind of like third baseman Adrian Beltre of the Texas Rangers, who will go into the Hall of Fame. Doesn't let anybody touch his head. None. I mean, people have tried to playfully touch him. He'll back away and he'll swat their hands away. And he's serious about it. Really serious.
You will always bring Adrian Beltre into a conversation.
I was just going to say the same thing.
He does it all the time. This is the third time he's done that.
He's a great ball player.
And that is.
Whereas I was going to suggest that that's almost like what Comey did when Trump tried to, give him the hug.
It's true. That's exactly correct.
That's the voice of Dave Lundy, who you may also recognize from Justin Kaufman's show. He appears every Monday night for Touche. I can't even anymore. I'd rather hear you talk on my show, where hopefully no one is as smug and disdainful. That tone just makes me kind of crazy.
Well, why are you distasteful?
Yeah.
Why am I distasteful?
I don't. I mean, but I guess I don't know. I guess it's appealing to some. But anyway, that's Dave Lundy, also the president of Aileron Communications, soon to be CEO, because he will give himself a promotion at some point when he brings his board of directors, and I will say yes to that. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Eric Elk, also the CEO and president of Fulcrum Enterprises.
Nope, just Fulcrum Illinois.
Fulcrum Illinois. Is there a Fulcrum Illinois?
Yeah.
All right. I did not know that. Are you making
take a Fulcrum to Illinois and see if we can get a budget?
Hey. And Ken J. Gubowski, the president and CEO of Sirius Communications. No, Enterprises.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're on a roll. That's good.
I know. It's when I'm on a roll until I go, is that right? Am I saying the right thing? What am I saying?
It's the shocking news. So
Wait, I just want to know, before you continue, you made me just subscribe to the Washington Post. I didn't realize until just now that I don't have a subscription to the Washington Post. I now feel as though I really need to start chipping in because these guys are doing the work.
Well,
so I just subscribed to it, and you told me something that I didn't realize they had on their page. Go ahead.
Yeah, on the front page, I think it's 117 days of Trump and 568 documented falsehoods and exaggerations or distortions, and they have documented them all. In the Washington Post, you can read them all.
Wow.
That's
all right.
Basically just about five a day.
Look, that's the liberal media trying to get in the way and keeping him from doing his job. They are sabotaging him, as Mike Pence said.
Saboteurs.
in that fundraising email came out.
We had the New York Times story today, which said that Trump told certain things to the Russians, which some are interpreting as an admission that he fired Comey because of the Russia investigation. But we did have a very interesting, I thought, defense of it from the White House today, which I think in isolation... It's creative. And in isolation, if you eliminate everything that's going on, it's plausible. But...
What's plausible?
Well, they said that...
The White House explanation that Comey screwed up the negotiations with the Russians by putting too much pressure on the White House.
Well,
was the dumbest, lamest rationalization ever.
Well, no. What they said was, they said that Comey's grandstanding and politicization. I've been trying to say that all day.
I have so much trouble with that.
Politicalization, whatever the heck the word is, of the Russia investigation. Put I'll put roadblocks in between the United States and Russia and any relationship they could have. Now, with Comey gone, the investigation will continue because someone else will take it, but in a depoliticized environment. Therefore, they will be able to work with Russia more efficiently, more productively. It could pass a smell test, except for the fact that there's a mountain of other evidence supporting
an
opposite view of really what was going on there.
And when you say work with them, are you talking about allowing that country's some of their representatives into the Oval Office with recording devices, photographers, etc., and none of our own photographers?
Yeah, well, that's one way of interpreting working together. I mean, that actually happened, yes.
I have a real problem with that.
Of course.
Interesting.
So I just have to tell you something very bizarre and funny here. So I'm on the Washington Post front page, and you know how they have the little in the news with some words. So these are the first three topics from left to right. Breast milk, Anthony Weiner, Clinton hug.
Clinton hug.
I'm just saying, Anthony Weiner, breast milk, Clinton. There's something just deeply wrong.
I don't get it.
I don't want to hear about breasts and Anthony Weiner.
Oh,
well, doesn't that say that's what's the higher trending topics on the page are what's what people are reading about? I know the Clinton hug, isn't that having to do?
I don't know what the Clinton hug is.
Well, she it went out on Twitter apparently. Her showing how to avoid an unwanted hug from Trump.
Yeah, one of her top aides, the guy who did the debate prep with her,
right.
Put up a video
right.
of the debate prep where they literally trained her how to avoid Trump's hug when he came in for the kill. During the debate, when he was going to try to intimidate her, and it was actually a really funny video.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that.
Well, that's
video.
Like the Canadian Prime Minister when he was here, Trudeau.
Right.
He was the first, apparently one of the first foreign dignitaries to successfully parry the Trump reach and grab and pull.
Yes.
And it made front page in all the papers in Canada. Bravo! You got one up on Trump, and Trump apparently looked frustrated. And he successfully parried it.
He got hug blocked
on Trump.
Oh dear!
Yeah.
Here, let's take a call from Glenn. Hi, Glenn. How you doing tonight?
Hi. Good. Thank you.
Of course.
Regarding your upcoming show, Sometimes Mommy Swears.
Yes.
I was about 11 or 12 years old, and our neighbor came over and told my parents that I was teaching our 3-year-old daughter to say the F word.
Uh oh.
And I kept saying, I never did it. I never did it. And I got all sorts of trouble.
Oh, no.
Come to find out, that's the way she said, truck.
Oh, truck. Oh, no. Oh, man. And the neighbor
never did come over and apologize.
You were never absolved? Ugh.
So, and regarding Trump.
Yes.
You know, I don't see how anybody in the right mind can like the guy. But even if he did get impeached, that doesn't mean he'd have to leave office.
Right.
That's true. I think a lot of folks forget that part, that just because he's impeached doesn't necessarily mean removal of office.
Well, Bill Clinton was impeached.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you leave office only at the end of a trial, which you lose in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. So he has to be impeached and then indicted?
The impeachment is the House voting to impeach him. It then goes to the Senate for a trial, like it did with Clinton, an actual trial. We've only had two of those in our country's history. People think Nixon was impeached, but he wasn't.
Oh, he resigned.
He resigned.
They were moving forward.
Ahead of the curve, right. Yeah. He knew it was going to happen, but he left before it got there.
And recall the first article of impeachment that they were going to bring against Richard Nixon was obstruction of justice.
And people, I think, are having a difficult time understanding exactly what that means. It just simply because Trump says the things that he said in the White House to the Russians, which the White House has not denied, by the way, at all. They've just tried to explain what he meant. That does not mean in and of itself that that's obstruction of justice. There has to be a corrupt motive. Corrupt motive is the key in all of this. And for that, you're going to need to look at context of many, 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 many things that Trump has done as far as the Russian investigation and James Comey are concerned, as well as other things. And that's what's going to be so interesting, to see Comey's testimony and see the context for the meeting in the White House where he asked them to hang back and he talked to him about going easy on Michael Flynn. And so much of this is context driven.
That's exactly that kind of context, though.
Exactly.
When Trump asked the attorney general and every other official to step out of the room so he could have a private conversation with Comey, and in the private conversation, the purpose was to get him to back off of Flynn, that's some pretty powerful
evidence. Problematic.
Last week when this came out, there were, I think I saw at least five prosecutors, three of whom were part of the Watergate prosecution team, and every single one said that Trump's actions showed a conscious knowledge of guilt, that he shouldn't be doing what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He wanted everybody out of the room because he wanted to just do it one-on-one. So I think Comey's testimony is going to be explosive, and it's going to be critical to understanding where this is going.
Do we know when Comey is testifying?
Yes, they just we know that the current plan is that sometime after Memorial Day, shortly after Memorial Day, Comey has agreed to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee in open session. What we don't know is whether Mueller, the new special counsel, is going to say to Comey and say to the Senate, hang on there. You're going to interfere with my investigation if Comey starts testifying about these things.
Interesting.
So, I will tell you that testimony, when it happens, you know, think Ollie North. For those of you who remember the Iran-Contra hearings and the select committee, and Ollie North gets up there after all that buildup, and he gets up there and he raises his right hand in his uniform, and like you hear the 1,000 cameras click, click, clicking away. And that was an iconic moment of the Reagan administration, and this will be an iconic moment of the Trump administration.
And given the many distribution channels for news, I would venture to say that will probably be the most heavily watched globally political event in the United States in history.
Wow. Wow. All right, then. What do you think, Glenn?
Well, I just have two more comments, and then I'll hang up. One is just why I heard today, well, actually I read today, that the Republicans were nervous about him going overseas because they didn't know what he was going to say.
Right.
You know, because he just talks off the top of his head. And the other is just what would he have to do to be removed from office? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's so hard to even speculate about. What would it take for him?
It's deliberately largely a political process.
Right. So
you don't have to be guilty of a crime. Literally, if someone in the House makes a if I don't know if it's a motion, if it's you introduce something, I'm not sure.
You introduce a resolution for impeachment proceedings. But it's a moot point. It's not, and I've said this on this show, I've said it on Justin's show. I wish my liberal friends would stop talking about impeachment, because that sets the bar as saying, well, either impeach or that's it. It's all a waste of time. And impeachment is not going to happen by this Republican Congress of this Republican president. It's not going to happen. Now, if the Democrats take the Congress in 2018, that's a different story. But by then, we'll know what's happened with this investigation and whether there's a there. I mean, right now, we don't know what the actual crimes that were committed. We know that there's evidence of collusion, but we don't know there's proof of collusion. We know that, you know, you're probably going to wind up having people like Flynn and Manafort go to jail, or at least get arrested and have a trial. But we don't know that about the president yet. It's too early to tell.
The big story of the day, we've talked about the New York Times.
Can we say the big story for the break?
Absolutely.
Cool, because let's tease the big story of the day. I also want to find out what Eric Elk would what he would consult the Republicans in D.C. with, because you're a strategist and you work with Republicans, and I would imagine that you want, they've got to save the party. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit about that. You got the 2018's already upon us. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Dave Lunny, the president of Aileron Communications, Eric Elk, the CEO and president of Fulcrum, Ken Jacobowski, the president and CEO of Cirrus Enterprises, and we also have Elliot Serrano, the chief geek officer. I think that you have the coolest title, quite frankly. Chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net for all of it. We're going to go see the premiere
of Wonder Woman.
I get to go see the premiere. Elliot hooked me up on that.
Who's playing Wonder Woman?
Gal Gadot.
So can I tell you something about the Wonder Woman thing? This is just going to sound like a strange comment. Ready? You guys ready?
Yeah.
So whenever you have the male superheroes, they're all buff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The woman playing Wonder Woman does not have the slightest hint of muscle on her.
But there's a toughness about her. I agree.
There's no, she doesn't look athletic. She just looks like a soft model person. Yep. And I'm like, what is wrong with Hollywood?
She's a good dancer.
That you cannot allow women to appear strong, not just with special effects.
Linda did.
I appreciate that. Mind you, she is also a former Israeli soldier. So
The woman that was cast in the role?
Yeah, Gal Gadot. But no, that is
I didn't know that.
That's a thing that people have said about Wonder Woman, that she doesn't look like you said, more buff. Even in the comic books, she looks a little more buff.
Mine's a little bit.
Yeah, and, exactly. Your Wonder Woman's got some definition.
Look, Bruce Wayne as Batman?
He gets more and more cut in every comic book.
Well,
actual TV show, Bruce.
'60s, but the one, but the movies, the modern movies.
He had moves.
He had dad bod.
He did have dad.
I love the Adam West
and little
Adam West
Dick
Batman.
Grayson as Robin.
They had dad bod, but Darwin Cook had a comic called The New Frontier, and he shows Wonder Woman looking very beefy, and it's interesting that when he did the miniseries, the editor said, can you make her look slimmer? And Darwin Cook said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because if Wonder Woman's an Amazon and she's supposed to be strong and athletic, you know, she could look a little beefy. I'm not saying that she looked heavy. She's a beefy woman. And I thought she looked great. So I see the point that you're making
I'm just saying it's a comment about Hollywood and how Hollywood interprets strength among women.
Right.
They're intimidated by strength among women with women actually looking strong.
Right. You make a good point there, Dave.
I think you do. Do you? Because they always commented on Angela Bassett's arms whenever she
They could have cast Giselle. Have you ever seen her in that commercial where she's pounding the heavy bag? Oh,
yeah, but
man.
But then her husband has a concussion and there's nothing she can do.
Undiagnosed.
What was she doing talking about that?
I know. Before we go to the news, will you read just one of the texts that you want for the angry text?
Oh, you want an angry text?
An angry text,
this is a good one.
Do you have a voice for us?
The 630. Daffy Duck. I'm hearing Daffy Duck.
Okay.
Ha, you guys are funny. Our President Trump's got the best hug from the people who elected him on November 8th, 2016.
The best hug?
Best hug. And as I listen to your whining and nonsense about our president, it brings me back to the great night for America and Americans. Too bad your lousy candidate lost. but don't think it's time to get over it. I expect better.
No, you know what? Everyone is knee deep in it now. And when people accuse voters for Hillary of looking past all the things that were questionable and things like that, everybody who voted for Trump looked past this mess right now. All the things that he brings with him were exactly what he was last year. He is exactly who we thought he was.
Which was predicted.
Yes.
I mean, so, what is amazing.
We discussed it on this show numerous times.
We
to
did.
The point
yeah.
where we thought people would think that we're a little out of control.
Well, what's yeah. amazing, and I know we got to go to news, so sorry, Roger, but what's fine. Amazing about this is how fast it yeah. has all happened
yeah.
and how every horrible thing anybody's ever said about Donald Trump yeah. and about his character flaws, about what your buddy Tony Schwartz, the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal, said,
mm-hmm. yep.
a short attention span, the known, complete ignorance,
yeah.
Inability to distinguish truth from fiction. I mean, all of it
yes.
has
when
come
you,
out in bold relief.
When people vote out of hate, this is what you get.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I do want to address, I turned off Eric Elk's microphone before he was able to respond when I mentioned that you get a presidency like Donald Trump when people vote out of hate. And I mean that primarily out of hating the other candidate. And I think that Hillary's voters also often voted out of hate for Trump. So, I mean, it was a hateful campaign. I think that there were polls about these are the two most hated candidates in who knows how long since they started taking these polls. So that was really the essence of what I was talking about. I mean, there are other elements of that, but that's really what I'm talking about.
I appreciate that clarification.
Yes, you're welcome, sir.
I didn't want people to think that only Republicans demonstrated hate. Or
oh,
something.
No. There are a lot of Democrats who hate. No, there are a lot of people who hate. And that's the problem, is that when you have this rage, you're not using logic, right? Wow. The idea that people hate liberals and just annoyed, I mean, the smugness that Democrats have when it comes to Republicans, instead of having a conversation, and I'm sure I fall into it, but I'm trying to have the conversation and keep
right.
showing up.
Well, and you can say that it's one of the reasons why Hillary lost, in that the last 2 weeks, her entire message was, I'm not Donald Trump. And it was
right.
belittling
right.
Trump at every stop she went. And I think people in those last 2 weeks were looking for another chord to be struck, and she didn't do it.
Last
Trump
2 weeks.
Did effectively. About the last.
The last 2 months.
Well, the last 2 weeks.
I mean,
the
entire fall campaign was anti-Trump.
Yeah,
there
when she called voters deplorable. I mean, like,
that's
an unfathomable and unforgivable thing to have done.
Yeah. You know, and I had a friend of mine, somebody, a political person whose opinion I generally respect and who I generally agree with, and she thought this was the greatest thing ever. And I said, you don't understand. That was horrible. That
yeah,
is going to bite us in the
oh,
butt.
Yeah. yeah.
And it did.
It's, and again, that was smug. Eric, I have a question that I've been thinking about for like the last, I know we've talked about this before. When President Obama won, did you feel that he did his best to try to unite the country, people who did not vote for him? Was that anything? Did you ever feel like you were hated because you didn't vote for him? Because that's what I think a lot of Democrats feel like, whether it's online or even from the presidency, because he constantly talks about the win and how much people love him. And if you didn't vote for him, you certainly don't love him.
Right. No, I think that the election is over
mm-hmm.
and it's time to govern.
And that's not for us. That's not for voters. Voters get to complain and
right.
and point fingers at the and allude to the fact that things are being done wrong. I'm sorry, continue, Eric.
I did, you know, after President Obama won in 2008, was sworn in January of 2009, there were a lot of folks or friends that I have who are Democrats who, you know, were still raving about how he walked on water and the greatest thing ever and all these things.
But what about the president? The actions and the words that he used?
No, I think he tried to. I felt that a lot of time it was trying to make sure that the actions measured up to the words.
Right.
And I don't think that he... You know, sometimes they did. Sometimes they didn't. but I don't know that there was, you know, at this level that we're seeing right now. And the thing that I didn't appreciate, I mean, there's a lot of spin that went on when they were putting people out, especially during the debate for the ACA, you know, doing the healthcare debate. And there was a lot of spin on that. And there were a lot of things that that weren't, you know, there were a back and forth on that. But there wasn't the line. I mean, maybe some things that weren't as factual. And then whenever, you know, they start doing all the fact checkers and things like that. But there's just this consistent line that's going on. And I don't, you know, that can't be tolerated.
I don't see any sort of effort to unify the country.
Right.
And I don't see any.
The thing is there's too many people that are blindly following right now without any, you know, thinking about any consequence. And, you know, not only I think will they realize that there could be severe political consequence for them, which is the only thing that a lot of these people care about is themselves and their next election, even though they're elected to represent some 700,000 folks in a House district. You know, when you think back to President Clinton and the outrage that there was, there needs to be that same outrage, you know, if some of these things start to pan out.
From, there's to be outrage from whom?
From both sides.
But as a Republican strategist who right. has worked in D.C. with top Republicans, as a matter of fact, what would you encourage them, the guys that are in there right now, for the most part, the guys that are in there right now who can help shape this?
Do not follow blindly. You have to take a stand. You have to push for these investigations to move forward. You have to, you know, don't block things. Don't just follow and vote in support of all these measures without having the facts. And you cannot just go along blindly.
So what would your advice be to Peter Roskam right now? Because Adam Kinzinger has kind of staked out this territory of, even though he will go along with the Republicans on 99% of the things on policy matters when it comes to Trump, he's staked out a little bit more of an independent sounding ground. He had called for a special counsel before it happened. Roskam, on the other hand, has done nothing of the kind. So,
well, and he may. I think just like a lot of the Democrats, it took them a long time and they were blindly following Clinton in the 90s during that impeachment time.
Yeah, but
they did.
Oh, come on. Eric, come on. You can't compare. I mean, what Donald Trump is being accused of, the various things that are under investigation now, relate to his presidency, to his becoming president and his being president and his covering things up while president. The things that Bill Clinton did is it was the result of a 3.5-year independent counsel witch hunt. That was an actual witch hunt of Bill Clinton, where they were investigating Whitewater that turned into something else, that turned into something else, that turned into something else, that eventually turned into him lying in a private deposition about Paula Jones, about a dress with Monica Lewinsky. Good God, you can't compare the conduct.
So that's better?
Is it better? It shouldn't have been. It wasn't an impeachable offense. It shouldn't have been an impeachable offense. It was absurd.
Better than possible ties to Russia and cover-ups?
What's at issue here is the soul of our democracy, not whether Bill Clinton had sex with an intern.
I'm not.
I do agree.
Okay. And I've said that these folks need to put country ahead of party, ahead of politics. Absolutely. And I think for a lot of these folks, you know, we're just over 100 or not even 200 days in yet.
120 days.
Okay, 120 days. I think for a lot of these folks, my hope is that they get there. I mean, this is still relatively new. I don't want to say new, but they're going through these paces.
I don't begrudge any Republican member of Congress who at this point is taking a neutral position on this, kind of a wait and see. I respect that position. What they're waiting for is context and facts. And one of the things that has frustrated me about my Democratic colleagues is the overheated reaction to every single story. We don't know context. You don't know who leaked it, what their motives were. There's so much we don't know. We have to be patient, let the process play out. It's certainly not good for the president. In fact, this has probably been the worst 2 weeks for any sitting president in, Nixon had better weeks than this. I mean, this has been, considering we're talking about collusion with a foreign power committing, in essence, treason, and the fact the big story, which we alluded to earlier in the Washington Post tonight, is apparently a person of interest is currently a senior advisor to the president in the White House.
Right. British papers are identifying it as the person I identified it as. It's Jared.
Jared Kushner, of course. It's absolutely Kushner. They're going after Kushner. Absolutely.
Although it was funny watching some of the shows tonight, some of the MSNBC shows. You could see Lawrence O'Donnell wanted to say, I can't say the name, but sounds like Schmushner.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's explosive. That's the first time that something like that has ever happened. But we need to let it play out.
And how does it play out when it comes to policy and, you know, when it comes to the Republican Party and their agenda and the things they want to get done, including the Affordable Care Health Act, not Obamacare, but possibly Republicare.
I think with that, I mean, there had been, you know, talks on doing improvements or tweaks, and I think they should have stuck with that. I think that they did not build a big enough coalition to push it through.
Well, and especially if
they had the hardcore right folks breaking, the Freedom Caucus folks. And I think that, you know, if they're going to try to move on this tax bill, they need to have a solid coalition put together.
Well, can they have a coalition when their executive, you know, their highest, you know, their leader is under investigation?
Nor does he have to push anything through Congress.
Patty, I think this makes it very, very difficult for work to get done in Washington.
This is what I'm asking.
Yeah. And major issues like health care reform. Now, that's sitting currently with the Senate, so that's kind of on a different track. But tax reform, infrastructure, and all the other things Trump talked about, I think those right now are on a big pause.
Which is why you see the stock market reacting the way it is globally. Right? See, we had a 370-point drop?
Yeah. If Donald Trump were smart, which we've seen he's not, but if he were smart, what he should do is he should immediately come back when he comes back from his foreign trip, assuming he doesn't set the world on fire while he's on his foreign trip. He comes back and he immediately announces his infrastructure plan. That's the one that you will put Democrats into a box. You will put them on their heels. You will force them to deal with you because Democrats have been calling for infrastructure for decades. Republicans used to, but Democrats have really been focused on it during the Obama years, and they couldn't get Republicans to go along.
And that was one of the things you were excited about, Ken, when he was elected.
Every Democrat would be excited about that because that's jobs. Not only is it jobs, it's what we need. Anybody who drives this country knows we need roads, bridge work, roads, sewers. Our ports need to be redesigned. So much needs to be done. Now that I think we can get people. That is what I thought he would have led with right out of the gate. And he didn't. And I don't know why. And I think that was Paul Ryan's call.
He went travel ban hard instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
which, by the way, that decision's going to come down from the appellate court, too. We don't know where they're going to come down on that.
Eric, can you help me out here? Because the 630 keeps texting.
Yes.
And he says, you do know that there are good things that our president is doing, right? Why just a negative? Can you tell me a good thing he's done?
Absolutely.
You know?
I'm sure you can.
Just give me one good thing. Tell me something he's accomplished that's really good.
You're a Republican. Come on. We're all
besides the carrier jobs that we all knew weren't going to leave anyway, but ended up leaving anyway. I'm saying this sincerely. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, you're giving me a look.
Eric's shaking his head.
As a Republican Party political strategist.
What he has done is he's signed a number of executive orders, 90% of which have zero impact. But there are some that have peeled back quite a bit of regulation in certain areas.
Why does Eric have to answer that? If the texter is telling you that he's done the good things, not we're talking about all the other things. Well, why doesn't that texter?
Why isn't the 630 provide articulate
this,
that?
I'm saying, what are the good things? I'm asking this then, please, the 630. I just want to know.
Tell us.
Because I am ready to toot that horn, too. I think.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I will tell you what 630 is going to say.
Did he save those jobs from Butterball in Montgomery, Illinois? There are 600 jobs that were cut, and the jobs that were cut from Caterpillar.
Although
and
Ford tonight announced that they are hiring 800 folks at its Dearborn plant in Michigan, which is fantastic.
Oh, good. That's great.
That's good.
I know what the Republicans usually lead with. They
Gorsuch.
Usually lead with Gorsuch.
Gorsuch. Exactly. And that was a
of course, we have to break the Senate.
Oh, by the way, okay. So my husband and I have been speculating about this. We have to go to a break. But my husband was like, "Wouldn't it be crazy if the next president that comes in is like, you know what? There's nothing in the Constitution that says how many Supreme Court justices we have to have. We're gonna have 19, and you just start packing the courts."
Well, that was Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah, just pack the courts. Yeah. That's by the way. That is. I don't know if this is going to be a playing field of revenge, but if it turns out to be that,
we're going to have a 58-person Supreme Court.
And honestly, I think the Republicans have been out for revenge since Nixon in 74.
Right. So this is a dangerous game that everyone's playing now.
I think it was a big mistake when they changed the Senate rules to get Gorsuch through, and it's going to come back to really haunt
the Republicans.
Right,
because that's now, there.
It's going to come back.
But that's problematic on so many fronts, right? Because it's their personal agendas, not anything that's trying to advance the benefit of the United States.
Your guy, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. So Gorsuch, and it's going to bite. It's going to bite.
As I said early on, I think McConnell's the one thing that is protecting a lot of us from some of the actions that the president is trying to take.
Michael just came back and realized that he just looked up and went, "Wait a minute, this has been a good conversation. You need to make sure you take a break." More after this on 720 WGN.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of
What's That From?
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and it's time now for What's That From? My guests and I will be reading a scene from a movie, and it is your task to call in and tell us what movie that's from. What's that from? And we have a gift card from Apt Electronics that will be your prize. And for some of the listeners that call in, we also have a pair of tickets to Sometimes Mommy Swears, my new show debuting at the Chicago Women's Funny Festival on June 18th at Stage 773. All right, here we go. Let's go right into it. Everyone's got their parts. We have our scripts. Go ahead.
And scene.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody. Coast is clear.
The bedroom comes alive. Toys emerge from the toy box, the closet, the shelves, etc. in a flurry of activity. Potato Head, his body parts strewn across the floor, sits himself upright and begins to reassemble himself.
Ages 3 and up. It's on my box. Ages 3 and up. I'm not supposed to be babysitting Princess Drool.
Ham, the piggy bank, flips over one last penny into his coin slot. Potato Head walks up to him, and his facial pieces are in the wrong slots.
Hey, Ham, look! I'm Picasso!
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine! What are you looking at, you hockey puck?
But Potato Head walks past, revealing a hockey puck figurine. Buddy sits on the edge of the bed, observing all the activity. He turns to a plastic green army man, Sergeant, standing on the nightstand.
Hey, Sarge, have you seen Slinky?
Sir, no, sir!
Okay, thank you. At ease.
Buddy hops off the bed.
Hey, Slinky!
Right here, buddy.
A toy Slinky dog, Slinky, appears underneath the bed, pushing out a checkerboard set. He begins to place all the checkers on the board.
I'm red this time.
No, Slink.
Oh, well, all right. You can be red if you want.
Not now, Slink. I've got some bad news.
Bad news?
Shh!
Buddy covers up Slinky's mouth, aware that the other toys in the room are watching. He leans in close to Slinky.
Just gather everyone up for a staff meeting and be happy.
Got it.
Be happy!
Slinky perks up the gate and laughs hard. Buddy proceeds in the other direction. He passes a toy robot and a snake partially hidden underneath the bedspread.
Staff meeting, everybody. Snake, robot, podium duty.
Robot and Snake come out from underneath the bed and reluctantly follow Buddy. Buddy walks past an Etch-A-Sketch. Etch, going in the other direction.
Hey, Etch! Draw!
Both Etch and Buddy whip around like gunfighters. Before Buddy can fully extend his arm out, the Etch-A-Sketch etches a gun on its screen.
Oh, you got me again, Etch! You've been working on that draw. Fastest knobs in the West.
Slinky passes a group of toys on the floor.
Got a staff meeting, you guys. Come on, let's go.
Robot and Snake begin constructing a podium made out of Legos and Tinker Toy tub while Buddy searches the floor.
Oh, now, where is that? Oh, hey, who moved my doodle pad way over there?
Buddy spots a doodle pad on the floor and by the desk and walks over to it. As he reaches down to pick it up, Rex, the plastic dinosaur, jumps out to scare Buddy.
Roar!
How you doing, Rex?
Rex suddenly turns timid.
Were you scared? Tell me honestly.
I was close to being scared that time.
Buddy heads back to the podium. Rex follows.
I'm going for fearsome here, but I just don't feel it. I think I'm just coming off as annoying.
A crook suddenly grabs Buddy's necks and jerks him towards Bo Peep, the porcelain figurine.
Oh, hi, Bo.
I wanted to thank you, Buddy, for saving my flock.
Hey, it was nothing.
What do you say I get someone else to watch the sheep tonight?
Bo saunters back towards her lampstand, passing a stack of ABC blocks.
Remember, I'm just a couple of blocks away.
Buddy is left love-struck. All the rest of the toys in the room are filling up past Slinky.
Come on, smaller toys up front.
Buddy remains love-struck in the middle of the room.
Hey, Buddy, come on.
Buddy snaps out of his trance and rushes over to the podium. The toys crowd together as Buddy steps onto the podium. Mike, a toy tape recorder, waddles up next to Buddy and indicates his microphone.
Okay. Hello? Check. Better? Oh, great. Everybody hear me? Up on the shelf. Can you hear me? Great. Okay. First item today. Oh, yeah. Has everyone picked a moving Buddy?
Moving Buddy? You can't be serious.
Well, I didn't know we were supposed to have one already.
Hey, do we have to hold hands?
Oh, yeah, you guys think it's a big joke, but we've only got 1 week left before the move. I don't want any toys left behind. A moving Buddy. If you don't have one, get one. All right, next. Yes, oh, yeah. Tuesday night's plastic corrosion awareness meeting was, I think, a big success. And I want to thank Mr. Spell for putting it on for us. Thank you, Mr. Spell. Okay, yes. One minor note here. Andy's birthday party has been moved to today. Okay, now next we have...
What do you mean? The party's today? His birthday's not till next week.
What's going on down there? Is Mom losing her marbles?
Well, obviously she wanted to have the party before the move. I'm not worried. You shouldn't be worried.
Of course Buddy ain't worried. He's been Andy's favorite since kindergarten.
Hey, come on, Potato Head. If Buddy says it's all right, then, well, darn it, it's good enough for me. Buddy's never steered us wrong before.
While Slinky speaks, Potato Head takes off his mouth and mimes kissing his own butt.
Come on, guys. Every Christmas and birthday, we go through this.
But what if Andy gets another dinosaur? A mean one. I just don't think I can take that kind of rejection.
Hey, listen. No one's getting replaced. This is Andy we're talking about.
Buddy steps down from the podium and walks toward the crowd.
It doesn't matter how much we're played with. What matters is that we're here for Andy when he needs us. That's what we're made for, right?
Everyone is now looking down sheepishly.
Pardon me, I hate to break up the staff meeting, but they're here. Birthday guests at 3:00.
Stay calm, everyone.
Too late.
Oh my god!
The toys panic and stampede over Buddy towards the bed window, leaving him alone on the floor.
Meeting adjourned.
All the toys crowd around the bedroom window, trying to get a peek outside.
Oh, boy, will you take a look at all those presents?
I can't see a thing!
Unable to see over the crowd, Potato Head pulls his eyes out of his head and holds them up over the other toys. At this angle, the toys point of view towards Andy's front yard. Children fire towards the front door, carrying presents.
Yes, sir. We're next month's garage sale fodder for sure.
Any dinosaur-shaped ones?
For crying out loud. They're all in boxes, you idiot.
The presents keep coming.
They're getting bigger.
Wait, there's a nice little one over there.
At first, the kid's presents appear to be a little box, but then the kid turns. The presents is 4 feet long. The toys all scream.
We're doomed.
Down on the floor, Buddy smacks his head to the smacks his hand to his forehead in surrender.
All right, all right.
The toys turn inside to look down at Buddy.
Look, if I set out the troops, will you all calm down?
Yes, yes, we promise.
Okay, save your batteries.
Yeah, very good, Buddy. That's using the old noodle.
Buddy jumps on Andy's bed and turns to the sergeant on the nightstand.
I believe the caller that's been letting the phone ring for a while. Yay, everybody.
Thank you.
I love that Michael changed the name of just one character.
That was almost as good as last week when he started reading it. And all the presidents been. Blah, 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 blah.
It's my favorite part of this.
I was explaining to people how we did this last week and how the scene opened and the scene starts with Deep Throat is in a garage. Yes. One word.
It doesn't help that he had never seen All the Presidents Men.
No,
I tasked him with that.
Michael's never seen All the Presidents Men?
No.
Ken has never seen Star Wars?
Well, who's more un-American, me or Michael?
You.
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. You know what? I was cleaning out my basement and I found a book called State of Denial.
And it was written by Donald Trump?
Isn't it Bob Woodward?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. I found all these books. It turns out I have two copies of McCullough's John Adams. I have like all these history books in my basement because I'm a historian, but I just haven't been able to get to it. So,
well, have you read either of the copies?
No.
Well, you really got to read John Adams.
There's a movie about John Adams.
right.
It's a great movie. You don't have to read the book.
It's an 8-part miniseries on HBO.
You don't need to read All the Presidents Men. Watch the movie.
I'm gonna do both because I'm obsessed right now with Abraham Lincoln because I do feel like right now we're at the same.
There's a movie.
I know. Yeah. I've seen Lincoln.
Now.
But it's based on Doris Kearns Goodwin's book.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm reading the whole thing. It's
that also was a good book.
It's a dense book. But my husband bought me one for Christmas. Mother's Day felt like Christmas. I got Wrestling with His Angels. Hold on one second. Mm-hmm. We have, which one do I take first? Do I take 773 or the 9? I think I have two. Let's see. All right, let's go with Patrick. Hey, Patrick, do you have a guess for what? Do you have a guess? Can you just say a guess?
I'm saying Toy Story.
Which Toy Story?
The first one.
All right then. Congratulations, Patrick. You've won a gift card from Apt Electronics. Everyone go to aptelectronics.com. Have you seen all three Toy Story movies?
Yes.
I have not seen the third one. Full disclosure,
it's not that good.
No,
I'd say that there's a few movies that I've cried in. The end of that Toy Story 3 is one of the most touching scenes I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so good.
All right,
the feels.
All mm-hmm. the feels. Well, Patrick, hold on the line, and Michael will take your information. He also has a pair of tickets for you to see Sometimes Mommy Swears at the State 773 for the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. Hey, Glenn, I have a question for you. Did you know what movie that was from?
Yeah, that'd be Toy Story 1.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So this is to also win a prize since you've been calling as well. I wanted to make sure you won something. Also an Apt Electronics gift card. One of the characters' names was changed to Buddy. What name should that have been?
Oh, God. I said the main character.
It's okay. No, it's not that one.
For the sky.
It's the cowboy one.
It was Buzz Lightyear and...
Oh, darn.
Oh, come on, Glenn. We all want to help
you. There was a woodpecker also named this, an old...
Woody.
There you go. Yay! Hold on.
That's like a wait, don't tell me level clue.
Isn't it Sheriff Woody? Is it Sheriff Woody?
Sheriff Woody, yes. Yeah.
Sheriff Woody. There you go. Well, we have an apt card for you as well, so hold on the line. All right, Glenn?
All right.
All right, thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for calling in. He's calling from the 920, so I just felt like...
From Woody. Which one? 820?
920. That's Wisconsin.
Oh,
like up by the the Fond du Lac area.
Way
up. Wait, let me ask him. Hey, Glenn, where are you calling from, Glenn?
Well, I live in Fond du Lac, but right now I'm calling from Chicago. I'm driving a truck.
Oh, well, we're so glad. Hey,
I'm on it too.
How far of a drive do you have tonight?
I don't know, about 100 miles. I'm home every night.
Oh, that's good.
So I gotta go to Kenosha and make a delivery then home to Fond du Lac.
Well, there you go.
And then I'm done.
Well, I'm so glad you called in tonight. Be safe on the roads, okay?
Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
Okay, there you go. Hold on, and Michael.
See you later, Glenn.
Hold on. God bless you. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Hold on, and Michael will get your information, and we'll send out that card from Apple Electronics. I love how your eyes lit up that I knew it was a Fond du Lac area.
It was awesome.
Well, one of my favorite towns to play in for comedy clubs is Appleton, Wisconsin, which is also in that area. So if you ever get up there, Frank's Pizza Palace is the best place in town.
Appleton, Wisconsin, where the College World Series will be played in next weekend. And my best friend's son is two wins away from playing in the College World Series as a freshman.
Whoa, that's
I'm very
amazing.
Excited.
What school?
UMass Boston.
Oh, okay.
He's a pitcher, and he's so good, he actually became the fifth starter on the team.
Best athlete and most famous athlete to graduate from UMass Boston.
Not the slightest clue on the planet.
Julius Irving.
Really?
Yeah.
Dr. J.
Actually, you know what? That's incorrect. He never graduated. He left after his freshman year. That's right.
I would have
known
it otherwise.
He went to the pro. Well, hey, who knows?
Well, maybe he changed your statement. Yes. The greatest to ever play for.
There you go. UMass.
There you go. It still works.
Don't we like the random thought generators that you get
it's
on
like
the show?
It's like you're in my brain. This is how my brain works. Right? Elliot knows.
I'm thinking of This Is Your Brain on Drugs commercials for some of those eggs that used to fry.
This is just...
Correct.
Yes, Roger?
Fond du Lac, we actually stayed up there on the lake at a B&B umpteen million years ago. Beautiful area.
Oh, I love that area. So
Roger,
glad that...
Roger, you're dating yourself. Umpteen million years.
That's umpteen million. So
it's a blind date.
Wait, you're saying he stayed up there on a date with himself?
No.
Umpteen million years ago. That's a long
that's
time.
That's the only.
Ago. Yeah. He doesn't look that old.
We still had creatures swimming in the lake.
Well, there you go. That'll happen. Let me do an on-air production meeting. Do you guys want to? When we come back, do you want to do tell me something good, or do you want to? Do you want to wrap up what's been going on in the week in news with, politically with.
I think tell me something personally. Tell me
Roger.
Something good.
We'll
only
take a
because
vote.
I think we've
you think
done
we've gone through everything?
Yeah, right. It's Friday too.
Tell me something crappy.
Tell me something crappy? You want to do something? Tell me something crappy? All right.
No. Tell me.
We could do tell you something crappy. I could tell you. I have plenty of things.
No, I got a good thing.
All right then, Eric. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do something good.
Something good, Ken?
Oh yeah, I'm for good.
Always end on a high note,
Elliot.
Yeah, the 630 is now sending me pictures of Ann Coulter's book, so I'd rather just go to
better than sending you pictures of Ann Coulter's butt.
I was worried where you were going with that when you said pictures of Ann Coulter's
Elliot Spitzer. No, I'm sorry.
A few seconds, I had wrong Anthony images Wiener. In my mind.
By the way, the 630 is because she is very disappointed with Donald Trump.
She is. Yeah.
She hates him.
That's because the wall wasn't built, correct?
No, there's a lot of things she hates. She's very disappointed. I can read you a bunch of things. Michael, what do you think? Tell me something good when we come back.
That sounds good to me.
All right, then.
Tell me
can
something
Can my something
evil.
Good be how much Ann Coulter hates Donald Trump?
Yeah, you've never worked.
You already did that.
I know, but let me Google some of the quotes that she has. More after this. You know what? And this is open for everybody. 312-981-7200. Give us a call.
We're going to talk cherry pie.
Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is coming back.
312-9. This is be my cherry pie. 312-981-7200.
It's a great cherry pie.
Give us a call if you're celebrating something. What are you excited about? What makes you happy going into the weekend? 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN.